find yourself. Isn't it interesting that we so often see people who have everything, who have so much and yet are so unhappy, and still other folks who are just as poor, as we used to say in the South, as Job's turkey. I don't know how poor Job's turkey was, but since Job became pretty poor, I guess his turkey got poor too. And these folks are just as poor as they can be, but they have smiles on their faces, and they have the love of God and Christ in their hearts, and they're happy people. I remember a story about a fellow who ran across a sad-looking friend. When he came upon him, he said, "Do you feel all right?" And the fellow said, "Well, yes, I do." He said, "Well, if you feel fine, then why don't you notify your face?" That's right, isn't it? Why don't we notify our face sometimes? The Bible says in Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is a good medicine, but a broken spirit drieth up the bones. A cheerful heart is a good medicine. People who are happy can deal with a lot of circumstances, and they can, because they've made up their mind to be happy, they can be happy. But I'll tell you another thing about being happy, and that is you've got to locate life's center. If you don't do that, then happiness is going to fly away from you and flee from you. You see, life itself, the fact that I am here and I'm alive, has to be associated with something. It can't just be getting up every morning and going to work. It can't be just going to the dinner table and eating another meal. That can't be it. When you look at it all and you begin to look at the associations of life, you must ask yourself, what's it all about? Life must be related to something besides itself. It must be related to something that is eternal and eminently valuable, or it disintegrates into nothing. What's the value of it? What's it all about? In Colossians 1:17, the Bible says, "And he is before all things, and in him all things consist." It's talking about the created order. And it says that Christ created everything, and everything consists in him. Watch. "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence." All things, everything, he must have preeminence. Now, when that takes a part in your life, then you can be a very happy person. But if it doesn't have a part in your life, and your life is not associated with something, there's not a center point for your life, then you just sort of wander about recklessly and aimlessly. Just recently, I was talking with a dear friend who, his niece, who is a good generation younger than himself, but he has worked with her, and he and his wife have done all they could to try to pull this woman back to center. Years ago, she was a Christian. But now for many years, for probably 20 years, she has been away from the faith, and her life is just in shambles. It's just in utter shambles. And he's been working with her, and she's been threatening to commit suicide week in, week out. And the moment he sort of pulls back and says, I've got to go on vacation or something, then she starts talking about killing herself again. She's got nobody. She was married. Her husband left her. She's just got nothing and nobody. She goes to church again, but it's very clear that it's just a peripheral interest to her. It's not at the center of her life, and certainly not at the center of her being. She has no reason to be here. So she doesn't care to be here. But ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of people that are floating around in life just like that tonight. You know some of them. Undoubtedly you do. And they have no reason to just go on. And so they're frustrated. The Christian attitude is to see Christ at the center of everything. Said Paul in the book of Galatians, in chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. Now listen to this part. And it is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. Christ is at the center in his life. He said, it's no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. The faith which is in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. It's important for us to locate what the center of my life is and see it for what it is. We also need to define life's purpose. Why am I here? What am I here for? And again, that's a big frustration. If you were to take aside a scientist tonight, and you were to talk to him for a few moments about the theory of evolution, you were to just say to him, look, I want to know what this theory of evolution, where it takes me. Tell me. At the end of the process, when you've told me I've evolved from a monkey or a monkey-like relative or something like that, and then I came along hundreds of millions of years later, and here I am, and here we all are. What am I here for? Zip. Zero. Nada. Nothing. That's what science tells you. What he may tell you is, look, you may have to go talk to a philosopher, or you may want to go talk to a religionist, or a preacher or something like that, a priest. But he doesn't have an answer to that. There is no answer from the point of view of the secularist. Well, if that's so, if there is no reason for us to be here,